John chapter 14. Just look at some of the wording that Jesus used. The scripture says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Verse 4, "And where I go you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Father, we thank you today and just approach your throne of grace and ask for mercy today. You promised us in your word that your mercies are new every day. And when the sun came over the horizon for us, we knew that it was a new day for fresh mercies, for fresh grace, and we come before you asking you. We ask for your help as we look into this marvelous word you've given us. We pray that you'll comfort the people of God, that you'll convict those that are still under sin, and Lord, that you would do your work of converting each of us to look and run after you. We give you praise and glory and thanks, asking you to forgive us, Lord, where we have let you down, where we have fallen short. And we're thankful because of your mercies we have forgiveness in Christ Jesus, that we can stand before you today as confident people, assured people, knowing that in Christ we are the righteousness of God. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think with me today just on this subject of the fact that we live on an earth that stands between two final destinations for us. The earth is that intermediate place that stands in the middle of either heaven or hell. And that's what we are today. We're standing in a place where the earth that we have is just in between the heavens and a place called hell. And there's a cross that stands between the both, depending upon where we will live eternally, whether we will live in heaven or whether we will live in hell. And Jesus wanted to encourage his followers, his disciples, those whom he called unto himself and was so intimate and personal with. And he told them not to be troubled over these issues, but if we believed in the Father, we could also believe in him, and that he was going to prepare a place for us. And if he would go prepare a place, he was also would come again and bring us unto himself. And I want to talk with you today just a brief time that we have on the subject of heaven. Let's just look at it today and some of the things that we might see out of this and some other passages, and just think about things. There's no way that we would be able to cover every detail and all that is there. Matter of fact, there's a lot about heaven that still is mysterious to me. I really don't know a whole lot about it outside of what God's Word has given us, some good insight on what heaven is and where it is and what it's about and what God is going to do. But as we look in this passage of scripture right here, he makes mention that in my Father's house are many mansions. And the word mansion there, in some of your translations that some may be using, it may use different terms. It may use there's many dwellings, or there's many rooms, or there's many this or much of that. And the word mansion itself speaks of an idea of something that is spacious. That's why I believe the King James translators use the word mansion, because when you think of a mansion, you think of something that is large, you think of something that is big, something that is massive, and therefore it has the idea of something that is very spacious, something real big. And and that's what the idea of this passage is referring to. In my Father's house, there's much space. There's much room. It's large. It's big. It's massive. And there's a passage in Scripture that gives us indication how big this city or this new heavens that we will eventually live in for an eternity, how big it is. And the Bible refers to that. But on our way to there, I want you to think on these things that right now, those loved ones that we have that belong to Jesus, that have died and their bodies have been buried in a grave, their bodies are still in the grave and their spirit, their souls are with the Lord. How all that works out, I'm not all that sure of these things, because there are times in the scriptures where some of these people that have died and gone on with the Lord have been able to be manifested unto men that were still living on the earth. Like Moses and Elijah, Jesus and his disciples seen them. You take Jesus after his resurrection, you take him for an example. People saw his physical frame, that they was able to put their hand through him, though he was able to eat. There's a lot of things I don't know about all that. But I do know this, that the God I serve and the God that I follow knows exactly what he's doing. And everything's going to fall into its proper place, and we can trust him. Amen? We believe he's going to work these things out. But right now, those that have died are with the Lord, that are dead in Christ or sleeping. The body's at rest, but their spirit is with the Lord. And there's coming a day, though, their body will be resurrected. And they will have a resurrected, immortal body that will forever live with the Lord. Now, in light of that, the heavens that now exist in the sense that where they are is only a temporary place. It's temporary. Now, I know that's hard for us to fathom, because we're talking about something that is eternal. How can something eternal be temporary? Because it is. The Bible tells us that God is going to make new heavens and a new earth, and the new heaven will come down upon this earth, the new Jerusalem, the new heavens. All that's going to be changed. So however all that works, the heavens where our loved ones, the brethren that have gone on to be with the Lord, will be changed one day. It's going to be changed. Now, it's still a perfect place. It's still a place where there's no pain, no sorrow, those types of things. They're in heaven, but even that heaven is temporary, very similar to like hell. Right now, there are people who have died without the Lord that are in hell. But that's not their final destination. There's coming a day that those that are in hell will stand before God at the end of what we would consider time, and when God resurrects them out of their grave, because they will be resurrected too and given a new body, and they will stand before God at the great white throne of judgment, and then they will be sentenced to the lake of fire, which will be their eternal destination for forever. I still don't understand all that, but I believe what God says, and I believe he knows what he's doing. Amen? So we trust him. Well, just like they were taken from Hades, like a temporary local jail, hell, and then cast into the penitentiary for life, like going to Fort Leavenworth with no possibility of parole. That's the picture here. Well, heaven is the same way. It's a temporary place until God makes a new heaven and new earth. And then new heavens will come down upon the earth, and there we will forever live with the Lord. Now our spirits go unto the heavens. But the scriptures teach us that the God of heaven, when he changes everything, he is going to come down and dwell upon the earth with a new earth with new men. Now, we're just going to trust him on that. But let's take a few minutes and just look at what the scriptures say about the size. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. And let's see if we can determine some facts here. Revelation 21. Look in verse number 16. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Revelation 21:16 says, the city is laid out, this new Jerusalem, the new heavens that God's going to restore and renew, somewhat of an idea of a resurrected heaven. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, and it was measured out to be 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. How many feet is a furlong? A furlong is 660 feet long. So 660 times 12,000 will give you exactly how many feet that is, or what the square mileage would be. Anybody know what the square miles of what the New Jerusalem will be at its base level? 1,500 square miles is what it's going to be. 1,500 square miles. Anybody have an idea what the square mileage of Kemper County is? Square mileage of Kemper County is, I believe, 766 square miles. Kemper County is a pretty big county. Lauderdale County, 715 square miles. Well, the New Jerusalem, the base of it, is going to be 1,500 square miles. But as big as it is in the square mileage at its base, it is on every angle in its height, and its width, and its breadth. That's pretty big. You take, like, for example, the when they were still standing, the Twin Towers. Anybody know how many floors was on the Twin Towers? 110 floors. 110 floors. Now let's do a little math here for a moment. Each floor was anywhere from 12 to 15 foot in height. Well, if you took that same figure and added it up and compared it to what heaven's height will be, if you made it in floors, that would be 528,000 floors in heaven. There will be. That's what it will be if it was based on that principle. That's pretty big, isn't it? You know how many square foot in this spacious place? I figured this up this morning. If 15 billion people were in heaven. Because how many people on the face of the earth now? Around 7 billion. Around 7 billion people. And the scriptures tell us all throughout the scriptures that there'll be more people that go to hell than there will be go to heaven from the beginning of time. Many are called, but few are chosen, the scripture says. Very few find the way of the narrow path in Christ Jesus. So if you figured this up, which I did, if 15 billion people were to go and be in this new Jerusalem, this new city, that would mean if we had a mansion or a spacious place for 15 billion people, you know what our square footage would be? It'd be a big number, wouldn't it? 1.4 million per square foot would be allotted to each individual if we had 15 billion people there. That's pretty big, isn't it? You see, because heaven, the base of it, which is 1,500 square miles, for every floor all the way up for 1,500 square miles will be what the size of it is. So you see why the translators probably translated the idea of a mansion. Because there's much space in heaven. There's going to be so much space in heaven. We don't know how many people are going to be there. We're just doing a rough estimate. But one thing about heaven, it's a big place. It's a spacious place. And the scriptures tell us not only is this spacious place available to us, these mansions with that size, 528,000 floors at 1,500 square miles per floor, that is a lot of space. You know, the word heaven itself means the lofty. It's lofty, something of elevation, something high. That's the literal word meaning. It's just something that is aloft. It's in the skies. It's in the heavens. 1,500 miles up is a long way. You figure the spaceship, when it orbits in space, is orbiting around 250 miles. 1,500 miles. 250. Now, will there be other things there? I'm sure there will be. I don't know what all is going to be. I know there's going to be streets of gold, and there's going to be walls there. But more important than the space, and more important what's going to be there, the most important thing is who's going to be there. God's going to be there. That's what's important about heaven. Amen? And that's what Jesus said to his people. He said, if you believe in God, believe in me. I go to prepare a place for you. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 25, you don't have to turn there, but the scripture says that from the foundation of the world, our Father has been preparing a place for us in His kingdom in heaven. So see, heaven is a prepared place. We can settle that issue in here today. It's a prepared place. Matter of fact, turn to Matthew 25. We might as well look at it. These passages, these thoughts, what they are to do in us as those that belong to the Lord is to build hope in us, to encourage us. There's so much we don't know. There's so much that I'm clueless about. But there's somebody who I know who knows everything. And I'm going to just depend on Him. Verse 31 says of Matthew chapter 25, "And when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those who are on His right hand," watch what he says, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Oh, heaven is a prepared place. Amen. That God has been working on and preparing within His counsel and within His will, which He gives us a few indications and in what it may be like, not everything. The scripture says there's going to be no need for light there because the sun will be its light. There'll be no weeping and every tear be wiped away and no sorrow, no pain, those things. And the scripture says that we'll be taught of God. Now, the order of all these things, there's a lot that's up in the air that how and when. When will we as the believers face the judgment seat of Christ and our works be judged? Exactly when that would take place, that's kind of a little unknown to us. We know it's going to happen, but we don't know when it's going to happen. When will the ungodly be judged for their sins and dealt with? We know that's going to be at the end, at the great white throne. We do know that. But how all that's going to work out, we still don't know. But one thing that we can take and rest assured of, if Jesus belongs to me and I belong to Him, if I know Him and He definitely knows me, if my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I don't have to worry about the great white throne of judgment, but I will have to face the judgment seat of Christ when I'm dealt with about the rewards of living in heaven and glory with Him. So that would put me in a position where I would want to live this life in light of the fact that I'm going to face God one day and give an account for the way I lived this life by His Spirit, and I want to live it in such a way that it'd be pleasing to stand before Him, not only for what Christ has done with me in saving me, but what the Spirit has done in me to bring glory to His name. Amen. And I know that's coming, but there's another judgment that will happen with all of us before we ever even enter into heaven or hell. And that is at the judgment of the cross. Meaning that God placed His wrath and judgment of sin upon Jesus. And that this judgment of either I have placed my confidence and faith and surrendered my life to Him will determine where I'm going. And if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't made that judgment upon the judgment that God has made, I will live separately from Him and only can anticipate the great white throne of judgment. And I'm thankful that not only is heaven a prepared place, but heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. God has prepared them for it. He's equipped them and prepared them for heaven. And if you go back and look at John for a moment, one more time, John chapter 14, just look at some of the wording that Jesus used. I'm going to read verse 2 again where He says, "In My Father's house are many mansions, are very spacious, much space, large, plenty room. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you in this particular large place. And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again," verse 3, "and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And verse 4, "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where You're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Now, as I read that, I can't help but think we have a tendency, I know you do, I know I do, I have a tendency to think about more about all the things about heaven more than I do potentially the person who we're going to. I know you're prone to do that. You think about those streets of gold and those walls of jasper and stones and the beauty that'll be there, the people that we will reunite with and see that have gone on before us. We think about those things, but the way Jesus emphasizes that this prepared place for prepared people is going to a prepared person. We're going to the Father, amen? That's the objective. We're coming to sit at His feet. We're coming to be under His blessings and with Him for all eternity. And I want to tell you that that's what heaven is really about. Now, God is separate from His heaven. Heaven is a created place. God is not created. Amen? So when you think of heaven, yes, it is a place where God dwells and His abode, but heaven is a created place. So it is a place, but where we're going, it's not as much about the place, it is the person that we're going to. A living God who has paved the way for us. And as a result thereof, I can't help but just close it with this thought that I've already said it's what? It's a prepared place. For who? Prepared people. Go into a prepared person who's ready to receive us. But also there's a prepared path. And the only path to the Father is through the Son. It's through the Son. Got to go through Jesus Christ. And to go through Jesus, that means that we've got to be willing to lose our life here to gain this life that He so desires to bless us with. I know I've got loved ones that have already died, some that are believers, some that are unbelievers. I have people that in my life, there's many that I don't even know. Matter of fact, there's some that I'm not aware of in my lineage and heritage where they are. I don't know. From all indications, from what I know, there's probably going to be quite a few that I will not ever see again. Because they didn't choose the path that the Father has chosen to go to this prepared place. And what we can't do is take that path lightly. Because you know there's a lot of people that we still yet know that we are acquainted with, that we know and are familiar with, that has still not gone the path of Jesus Christ. They're still on that broad way. And right here where we stand today, we're standing in the middle. We're standing on middle ground, Rusty, between heaven and hell. And Miss Pat, the only path we have to get to heaven will be through Jesus Christ. And to go through Jesus Christ, Rob, we have to trust our lives to Him. Yes. To the point where we surrender our life to Him. It's not enough just to believe Him or to believe in Him. There's many people that believe Him but never trusted their life to Him. Many people believe that, yes, Jesus died for the sins of the world and Jesus will provide salvation, but they believe that. They have an intellectual understanding of that. It's been ingrained in them, been told to them over and over. They can tell you things about it, but they've never surrendered their life to Him. Never entrusted themselves to Him. And it's when we entrust ourselves, surrender ourselves, rest our life upon what He accomplished on our behalf, understanding that the wages of our sin is death. Understanding that the righteous gift of God is in Christ. Therefore, I give Him my life to take me and do whatever He chooses to do with me. I give my life to Him to save me, but also give my life to Him to use me in whatever way He sees fit. I trust Him. Mark 8 tells us that specifically, he who is willing to lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. The gospel means the aim or the heartbeat, the message, the way he lived, what he lived for. And when we surrender our life to Jesus, we surrender our life not only to the person of Jesus, but we send it to the purpose of Jesus. What his life was all about and what he came to do. And there's so many that's not done that. They've not given their lives to Him. They've not entrusted themselves to Him. And you and I know too many people that are in that condition. And we can make a difference. Amen. We got to tell them about Christ. Live Christ out before them. And ask God to help us have an impact on people around us. I want to tell you, living for Jesus is wonderful. Amen. Amen. When you're on the other side, you've not went down that path yet. It looks like something. I don't want nothing to do with that. Man, that takes too much away from me. I can't have fun. I can't do what I want to do. It restricts me. I got to give up this and I got to give up that. A person that's over there, they are not ready to go the path of the cross. But when a person realizes he's hopeless and helpless without Him, and God manifests what Christ did upon the cross, oh, he entrusts his life to Him. Yes. And God will use him to help other people see that there is a path God has chosen. And it's not broad, it's narrow. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no man whatsoever will be able to come unto my Father except going through me. And when they go through me, they surrender their life to me. I become their king. Amen. I become their king.